This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Good afternoon and welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Thank you for joining me. Today, we're going to be talking about what's going on with the CLEAR community, what's going on with kind of those jobs that are required you to have clearances and those people who are trying to get jobs that require you to have clearance. I have with me on the phone, I have the editor of clearancejobs.com, Lindy Kaiser. That's right, Lindy, is that right?
That's correct.
Well,
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on Fed Access. You know, we've been kind of really, really worried. And the first topic, number one, that I kind of want to hit you with, because, you know, you've been monitoring things that's going on with the CLEAR community, with clearancejobs.com being an editor. What's happening with this budget process? I mean, a lot of people are afraid of the government shutdown. If we don't get anything, that's happening, the government may shut down for a couple weeks or so. What's going to happen with the government contract community if this happens? For all those people who have clearances, who are working for Northrop Grumman, SAIC, the CSCs, or the small companies, what's going to happen with those people?
Well, it really very much depends agency to agency. So the number one thing that any contract or government employee, whoever you happen to be, best thing is just to talk to your program manager, talk to your supervisors. If the government does end up shutting down, a lot of that will, be agency-specific as to whether folks are essential personnel and they're going to be coming in, going to their jobs, and whether they're, if they're contractors, whether they're going to be reporting back to their parent company rather than going to the agency they work for. So the best thing at this point is just not to get overly anxious, but just to have those conversations with folks, supervisors, and again, simply because it is so specific depending on agencies and depending on the specific field. Of course, at Clearance Jobs, we work a lot with the intelligence fields, with cybersecurity experts, those kind of folks. A lot of those people, are considered essential personnel. So for many of them, they're still going to need to show up to work if there is a government shutdown, if a furlough happens.
So with those people who are, working intelligence, homeland security, any kind of defense or national security issues, like you said, they're considered essential personnel just as if they are government workers. So their contracts will probably say, listen, we need you to still stay on board regardless of what's going on with the shutdown.
Well, again, like you say, it's going to depend on the contract. Paychecks to those contracting companies could technically stop. And so that's why, again, contractors definitely need to be touching base both with, I know many of them have on-site supervisors, they also definitely need to touch base with, again, their parent company, whoever they work for, determine if they should be or supposed to be going into work. Folks, agencies like the FBI, the CIA, again, analysts, intelligence folks, they're not going to just be closing the doors. But there are a lot of administrative positions within those organizations and those positions that aren't considered, again, on that essential or required list. Those folks might not necessarily be showing up. So, again, it's definitely just checking in with those supervisors and getting to know what the specific procedures will be, because there could be temporary stops, like you say. They won't be issuing paychecks, to folks, so they just need to touch base and know what their specific agency and contract company procedures are.
And, you just mentioned something I think a lot of people would be very, very concerned about, that if it is a shutdown, there may not be issuing of any kind of paycheck. So, I mean, for those who are in the CLEAR community, should they be kind of making contingency plans as it relates to just an individual? Should they be making contingency plans just in case they may not get a check for a month or so? I mean, will it slow things down to that point that you may not, receive a paycheck for a whole month?
I doubt it. I don't want to speak in and step there, but again, major defense contracting companies, and that's a lot of what we have in the D.C. area,
right.
Your major defense firms aren't living paycheck to paycheck.
Okay.
So, you can't, again, I can't necessarily say, but I wouldn't expect the doors of the major defense contractors aren't going to be closing. They have multi-year contracts. They have a lot of ongoing things. Certainly there are a lot of, this is you know, an arena in the Washington, D.C. area where contracts are heavily government dependent, but there certainly are contracts that will not shut down in the event of a government furlough that aren't, you know, directly tied to the government. So our major defense contractors have a lot of ongoing projects going on that won't necessarily require closing the doors anytime, regardless of whether there's a furlough or not. I mean, employees should have a contingency plan if they go a week without paycheck. But again, I'm not a financial planner, but
that's
sure.
general tips. We'll get some general tips, some general financial advice right there. And, you know, you mentioned the major ones, but are you hearing from, you know, more smaller and maybe mid-sized contractors? I mean, and you're right. I mean, the major ones probably have a lot of change, and they have a good amount that they can survive off on and keep on running no matter what the case is. But what about the small business, you know, those who are subcontractors, or the small women-owned or veteran-owned or minority-owned business or whatever the case is? You know, are those people, are you hearing a lot more fears coming out of that community?
I would say there's a little general skittishness when it comes to hiring and bringing on new employees, especially for those smaller companies, simply because they don't, you know, they don't want to be hiring personnel or bringing on personnel that they then can't pay in the event of a furlough. So they're certainly more impacted. But I think that the larger issue is going to be the budget overall. I mean, if we're looking at the government furlough, speculation is, you know, a week, 2 weeks, you know, so many days. The bigger issue is getting those budget passed. So I think companies that are skittish now because of the furlough have already been skittish because of the continuing resolution and not having budgets passed. So we're not seeing major fluctuations and changes in terms of hiring in that sense, really, because firms that slowed down hiring, you know, did so prior to that, and then I imagine, you know, could speculate that it will pick up once an actual budget is passed in that sense. But, like I said, bigger firms are still hiring, and like I said, I would say amongst the smaller firms, there's just, you know, there's perhaps some skittishness, but those firms are definitely still hiring. We continue to see statistics coming out, but especially in the cybersecurity, in the IT fields, regardless of what's going on with the furlough, those firms, they still have positions they need to hire for. There are definitely niche, you know, job opportunities and markets where some aggressive hiring is still happening.
And I was kind of leading to my next question is that, you know, given the state that we're in right now and you know, trying to get this budget passed, and even just really kind of as we're talking about kind of lowering the federal debt and you know, everybody having to make changes and trimming the budget all around in all agencies, you know, what are you hearing from, what are you hearing from agencies? You know, have you seen a lot of agencies kind of, because you guys on clearancejobs.com, you know, you have a federal agencies hiring off your site as well as contractors. What are you hearing from federal agencies? And then also, what are you hearing from just the contract community, you know, in large? I know cybersecurity is hot, but on everything else, I mean, what are we seeing in terms of hiring? Has there been a halt, a stop? You know, are people saying, listen, we have positions, we're just waiting till the budget gets passed, and then we're going to go really hard, and we're going to hire a whole bunch of people? I mean, what's going to happen?
Well, I would say, I mean, D.C. is not a city for, you know, for the faint of heart. So I think a lot of the agencies and, you know, contractors that work here, you know, they're battle-hardened folks that are used to some debate going on Capitol Hill. So when it comes to their bottom line, they definitely have a long-term perspective. So what you're looking at right now with the furlough is really short-term budgetary concerns. But we see across this industry, especially in the intelligence and security cleared industry. So for the kind of jobs that you posted at clearancejobs.com, that's really a long-term investment in national security. Those kind of positions, you know, are still in place. Again, CIA, FBI, NSA, those types of agencies don't shut their doors in the event of, you know, of a government shutdown. And like I say, when it comes to budget, there's a little bit more. There's a little bit more of an even bottom line when it comes to budgets across those agencies. You know, even since the defense cuts are not as expected to be as high as across other agencies.
So really, the defense industry is still insulated from, not immune, but in the defense industry is not as much a concern about maybe the budget cuts as much. I mean, everybody has said that we're not going to really cut national security as much when, you know, defense is not going to take these major hits. And any of the cuts have been coming off of kind of administrative programs, not necessarily human capital or cutting down people.
Yeah, I mean, and every agency, you know, is going to be cutting the bottom line in this economy. But I would say, amongst other job markets, if you have a security clearance, if you have, we just released, if you have IT certification, if you're in a niche field, especially when it comes to defense, homeland security, you are definitely more inoculated against the ebb and flow of the budget cycle than other industries are.
Okay, okay. Listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio. We're talking about clearance jobs. We're talking about the impact of possibly the budget shutdown. We're talking about, you know, if you do have a security clearance, where should you be looking at? As we're going to the next segment, I want to talk about if you have a security clearance, you know, what is the market looking like for you right now? If it's a secret clearance, top secret SEI, where should you be looking for these jobs right now? We'll talk about that in the next segment. We're talking to Lindy Kaiser. She's the editor of clearancejobs.com. We'll be right back after this break.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The National Archives and Records Administration says its electronic records archive is now up and running, and it's now in the process of gathering electronic records from some of the largest federal agencies for permanent preservation. The Departments of State, Justice, and Health and Human Services have started to add their records to the ERA, a digital version of the archive's collections. By November, NARA plans to reach out to 27 other agencies to begin to include their records in the electronic collection.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology. Information technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
How old were you when you stopped playing? Chances are it didn't happen overnight. As you grew up, information got elevated, imagination got downgraded. We stopped playing and started stressing. Kaiser Permanente encourages you to follow your kid's lead and put some play back in your day. It's as natural and necessary as sleep. Physically, play boosts immune function, lowers blood pressure and cholesterol. And what it does for your emotional and mental health is pure refreshment. Toss a ball around and see how it lightens your mood. Notice how a hand of cards changes your outlook. Jump rope and watch your creativity soar. Best of all, play keeps you young, like no pill, no program, no procedure can. So take that kayak lesson you've been putting off. Learn a new song on the piano. The truth is, the day you stop playing is the day you start aging. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive. Learn more at kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
The ComSatCom report, provided by Hughes.
My unit needs to be able to transmit critical information quickly and reliably while deployed. We must have the flexibility to deploy mobile forces fast as we adapt to changing conditions in our environment. Only satellite can support real-time communications everywhere in the field, whether in the air, on the ground, or at sea.
Hughes provides advanced communications on the move solutions with global coverage. Our solutions meet U.S. government security requirements, including FIPS and TRANSEC, and operate on multiple bands and waveforms. Hughes products comply with open, commercial standards, enabling easy integration with existing systems. Our team of highly skilled and cleared engineers stands ready to work with you to meet your mission requirements.
To learn more about Hughes technologies and contract vehicles, visit today's complete ComSatCom report on federalnewsradio.com or visit Hughes on the web at defense.hughes.com.
Hi, I'm Neil Asbury, host of The Neil Asbury Show. Please join me and my guests each week as we discuss the importance of international trade, entrepreneurialism, small business ownership, job creation, and the American dream.
The Neil Asbury Show, Saturday mornings at 8 on Federal News Radio. The Neil Asbury Show is sponsored by AIT Worldwide Logistics, Yoakum Shore and Trossaven, and WTS, Withers Worldwide Transportation Systems.
Last April, 256 senior federal managers went missing. Are you next? The most successful managers know to never pass up an opportunity to learn. Join them this year to discover how to maximize your agency's forward momentum at the Federal Senior Management Conference at the Hyatt Regency Chesapeake Bay in Cambridge, Maryland, this April 10th through 13th. The Federal Senior Management Conference is the preeminent conference for senior federal managers, presented for government by government advisors, with registration open only to government employees. Register now at fedsmc.com or call 202-237-0300.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about clearance jobs. We're talking about what's going on with the budget. We're talking about what the impact of the budget will have on the contract community, on the whole federal government, on the defense community. We're talking with Lindy Kaiser. She's the editor of clearancejobs.com. Lindy, we were speaking about kind of, you know, the impact of the budget, and we're kind of saying defense is not going to really, you know, defense is it may take some hits, but it's not going to be as major as maybe some other agencies. The contract community may take a few hits, but there's still a good amount of hiring going on in some areas. If a person has a clearance right now, and let's kind of hit them first and then maybe go into general job seekers. If a person has a secret or a top secret or a top secret SEI, top secret with full poly and everything else, what's the market looking like for each one of those individuals? Is it pretty good?
I mean, we definitely find that for those individuals, the security clearance is a definite boon in hiring. It has absolute advantages in terms of finding employment. Again, it's a lot more of a steady job market. Clearly, the higher that clearance goes from a secret up to a top secret up to the different levels of poly, they're going to see increased opportunities and then, you know, commensurate an increased salary to go with that. So we continue to have a number of, you know, jobs posted. We see jobs posted available for those individuals.
With all of that, you mentioned kind of the level of differences with the clearances, you know, and you know, because some people will kind of come and say, listen, I got a secret clearance, but I'm not getting as many hits. I mean, are you really kind of seeing a difference between is a secret person, are they eligible to possibly get a good amount of hits if they put their resume up on clearancejobs.com? I mean, what would be your recommendation for kind of each one of those levels?
There's definitely, the money goes up as the clearance level goes up. You know, that's just pretty much a universal because there's a lot more time and there's actually more money invested by, you know, the sponsor, whether it's a government agency or whether it's a company, in order to get that clearance. So there's increased responsibilities that go along with that. And then there's jobs out there that pay increase. And then, again, the advantages, you know, to getting jobs are out there based on the level of clearance a person has. And I just think it's important, regardless of your clearance level, to get that out there and be looking for opportunities before you need them. That's hands down always some of the best advice that you can give. You don't want to be looking for a job when you have to have one. You want to look for a job before you need one. So I always have people come ask me at events. They're like, "Well, I can't get a clearance job. You know, my boss will think that I'm looking for a job, and then that won't be good." Well, I always say if you have a security clearance, you definitely need to be on a place like Clearance Jobs. A password protected job board, a place that's designed only for people with security clearance. It's an exclusive niche community designed for those people. And again, the reason, you know, to get engaged and get involved there before you need one is that you'll see those opportunities. And you're working with employers who know the difference between you know, a secret and a top secret, and again, those are different levels of security clearance. Sure. And they're going to be looking for someone who has your specific expertise, and they want to tap into that.
With that, you kind of just mentioned something really, really important, because I hear that from a lot of job seekers who have clearances. You know, you do have a market right now where you have a number of people who are BRAC impacted. You know, they have clearances a lot of times, but they're looking for other employment opportunities. You know, with that kind of situation, and people do get concerned, especially in the contract community, even more than federal, that if they do put their job, you know, they do put themselves out on clearancejobs.com or any site that is searchable by a person, you know, can a recruiter from their company, you know, possibly pull them up and be like, "Oh, okay, I didn't know you were looking for a job," and then go back and tell the boss, and then that kind of puts them in a very uncomfortable position. You know, I mean, how do you handle that? I mean, you know, what, you know, is it set up that, you know, your identity can kind of, you know, remain kind of a secret on Clearance Jobs? I mean, for a person who may not be on there or may use the site but not use all the unique tools, what's on there to help them manage that job search, but also do it in a very kind of secure manner where they don't feel uncomfortable?
Yeah, well, you know, the job board at clearancejobs.com has settings. You can, you know, actively open and search for jobs, or you don't have to activate or have, you know, your resume actively looking. So you set that level. When I say Clearance Jobs, we have the Cleared Network, which allows you to connect with individuals. We also have a new component called Cleared Groups, which are really an exciting thing to have on there. You can basically join groups, whether it's Army veterans, whether it's Marine Corps veterans, whether it's a specific location, whether it's 100K-plus jobs. You can kind of network with those individuals, and it really provides an opportunity to connect and share information. So again, if you're not actively looking for a job, but you want to be engaged in a basically a professional development community where you can trade tips, information, talk to other people in your industry, and again, the security cleared community, you're not going to be having those conversations on a publicly accessible forum. Hey, no one's talking about top secret information clearance jobs, but they're talking about the security cleared community. They're talking about news that's of interest. A lot of those folks just aren't comfortable putting their name out on other social networking sites or you know, posting public comments somewhere. Again, they want to be in that password-protected niche community that's specifically for those security-cleared professionals. What I say is there's networking opportunities, and again, you establish whether you're actively looking or whether you're not. And if you're not actively looking, there's no reason why you still can't be a part of that community just to get to know what's out there and see what other jobs are there. Again, regardless of whether you're looking, you should know what opportunities are there in your industry, even if you're absolutely happy with your job. It's good professional development for you. And in my mind, it actually benefits your employer to say, hey, I'm getting to know what's hot in my field. You know, I want to know what the key, you know, jobs or positions are in my field. And you can bring advantages to your current position just by knowing what's out there in your industry.
So your advice is kind of like, hey, listen, you know, don't, you know, and maybe you haven't seen a lot of kind of a blowback on a person if they do put themselves out there, because they can definitely say, listen, you know, I'm not necessarily, you know, looking for a job. If it did get back to their boss that they were on clearancejobs.com, they had a profile and everything else, it says, listen, I'm just, you know, keeping an eye on what's going on in the industry, finding out what kind of positions are out there, what kind of certifications are out there. You can use that as kind of what you say if somebody does confront you about that.
Yeah, we have a bi-monthly newsletter. We have our clearance jobs blog is actually a great resource. We get dozens of questions and comments on our website every day asking about security clearance procedures. You know, maybe a person has a secret clearance, their company needs to upgrade them to a top secret clearance. They have questions about filling out, you know, the paperwork. They have questions about getting an interim clearance. We get those kind of questions all the time. So it's really, again, a forum for the security cleared community and their advantage outside of seeking. So again, you're certainly on the site and not actively be looking and not, you know, not have that check that little box that says you're currently actively looking for a position.
You know, as we're going forward, what's going hot? I mean, you know, of course we know cybersecurity is really hot right now, but what else are you seeing that's really, really hot in terms of positions that a lot of contractors or even agencies are just saying we need to get these people on board beyond cybersecurity?
Like you say, you mentioned cybersecurity is definitely a hot one. We just released a survey announcing certification. So across the IT field, we're seeing anything with a certification is definitely a big advantage. So the different Cisco certifications, Microsoft certifications, those different things, seeing those increasingly in government and also in private contracting, that those are more required for positions than ever before. So they're actually looking for people with specific certifications, and that's increasingly how individuals are getting their jobs is based on the certifications they have. So whether it's whether you're an information systems security specialist or whether you're in, you know, a facility security officer, we're seeing specifically overall certifications with those positions are really a key thing in terms of advancing them. And then again, cybersecurity industries, contract management positions, even in this, you know, current climate, are definitely always hot. And we just you know, continue to see across the industry, like I mentioned, certifications are really a big advantage.
And with certifications, it is very much more the very, very high-level technical certifications that we're talking about, the CSS, the CISSPs, or, you know, major certifications on program. We're not talking about necessarily lower-level certifications. We're talking about, you know, kind of major component certifications. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
With all of that, in terms of the job seeker right now, are we seeing the recruitment of more people? You know, so a person hears that cybersecurity is really hot right now, you know, and if they say, well, listen, I'm going to go ahead and get into a cybersecurity program, get the certification, get the training, is that person right away a person who's going to be sought after on the job market? Or is it more about people who've already been in the industry for quite some time and then kind of got these other additional certifications, people who have been doing network security or whatever the case is, and then continue to, you know, advance themselves? I mean, what are we seeing between new people entering the market with these credentials and then possibly those who've already been in who are updating credentials?
There's definitely no replacement for experience. So definitely if a person's new to the industry, If they don't have experience, I will say certification would be probably one of the biggest advantages to help put them on an even playing field with that person who has a lot of experience. But regardless, I think looking for, you know, for opportunities. So say a person's fresh out of college, doesn't have a lot of professional experience in, you know, the IT or cybersecurity industries, looking for those key internships. I know the demand for cybersecurity is actually so significant. Universities are creating programs specifically to get those people and move them into positions. So there are definitely advantages out there, so I would just look for those. And if you're having trouble finding a job, though, I think what our study, you know, in regards to certifications found is that might be a big help. You know, if you're in an industry and there's a certification that applies and you don't have it and you're looking to move up, you're looking for a pay increase, you're looking to move on to a different company, you're looking for a new position, then probably that certification could be that tipping point to help get you into the position that you'd like.
And they can find that survey about certification, they can find it on your website at clearancejobs.com. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Is that in the articles, or so if somebody was looking for it, would they find it where?
It's posted in the articles. You can also find in our media section that links are available there.
Outstanding. You listen to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch. We're talking about clearance jobs. We're talking about what's going on with the CLEAR community. We're talking about the impact of the budget on CLEAR jobs. We're talking about how to find a job if you're a person with a clearance, and even if you're a person who doesn't have a clearance. We'll talk about the job search next on the next segment. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch. We're talking to Lindy Kaiser. She's the editor of clearancejobs.com. We'll be right back after this break.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Could switching to GEICO really save you 15% or more on car insurance? If a tree falls in the forest and no one is around, does it make a noise? Yep.
Be like the 4 million who switched to GEICO last year, and you too could start saving money. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the only radio station dedicated to news for and about the federal government and government contractors. Find us at federalnewsradio.com.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on 1500 AM at 10 o'clock AM. This week, join me and my special guest and partner, John Frieden, who's going to be talking about Internet privacy on the web. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by the full-service law firm of Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman. Visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com.
Hey, Caps fans! Place a deposit for full season tickets now and reserve your spot for the 2011-2012 season. Deposits are fully refundable and can be used towards other ticket purchases while retaining your place in line for full season plans next season. For more info on placing your full season ticket deposit, call 202-266-CAPS or log on to WashingtonCaps.com and do your part in building America's hockey capital.
As the business of Government Hour continues to engage government executives who are changing the way government does business, join them next week on location in New York City with their special guest, Stephen Goldsmith, Deputy Mayor for Operations for the City of New York. How is the city modernizing and consolidating operations for the 21st century? What is New York City doing to shape a government that's customer-focused, innovative, and more efficient? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and so much more with New York City Deputy Mayor Stephen Goldsmith next week on the Business of Government Hour.
I'm like you. I watch the cherry blossoms bloom in the spring. I live amongst monuments and museums. I enjoy walks on the National Mall. Washington, D.C. is my home. This is where I found my career. I am a civilian employee of the United States Coast Guard. That's right, the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard provides me with great workplace training and excellent federal benefits. It allows me to live my life to the fullest. I have time off to travel and have flexible work hours so I can spend time with my family. Coast Guard gives me access to childcare, health and fitness programs, and first-class health insurance, life insurance, and retirement benefits. This is my career. It's how I serve. Find out more about U.S. Coast Guard positions available in D.C. and across the U.S. at CoastGuardCivilian.com/federal. That's CoastGuardCivilian.com/federal. The U.S. Coast Guard is an equal opportunity employer.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been talking about clearance jobs. We're talking about what's going on with government contractors, with the DOD, intelligence community, jobs that require security clearances, whether it be secret, top secret, or whatever the case is. We're talking with Lindy Kaiser. She's the editor of clearancejobs.com, and we've been having a good conversation about this job search. Lindy, we talked about those who had clearances already. What about those? And I know your site is very much so geared towards people who have clearances. But in terms of the market, because you are seeing a number of employers out there, what are you seeing about maybe clearable jobs or anything else for those who don't have clearances? What's the market looking like for them to possibly break into getting a job with a defense contractor or anything else? Is it really tight for them, or is there some hope?
I think because we have such a significant veteran community and a lot of folks who already have clearances, that's definitely an advantage. But that said, if you don't have a clearance already and you're looking to get into the defense industry, it's definitely not a reason that you won't be able to find a job, and it's not completely prohibitive. A number of students, there's a lot of great, the Department of the Army has internship programs, Department of Defense has internship programs that both gather people while they're in college or even just out of college, and we'll put them into post-collegiate programs. And a part of that is getting an interim clearance and then getting a full security clearance as a part of that position. So if you don't write it off completely and say that a career with the major defense industry is not for you. Just look for, again, look at positions that are out there. Learn as much as you can about your industry. Do a lot of research in the company that you're considering working for or with. If you're looking at a specific agency, whether it's the NSA or the CIA, get to know that agency, get to know what they're looking for, get to know the specific skill sets, whether linguists certainly are always a hot career. So if you don't have a security clearance but you have very specific language skills, just look for those other advantages that you can bring to the table and get you that defense position that you want.
With that being the case, I mean, so what it sounds like is, people who are coming out of and have a lot more specialized type, like you mentioned, language abilities, or people coming out of an IT program, those people have a lot more kind of prospects within the defense industry rather than those who are kind of coming out with more general skills or even if you just kind of came out with maybe just HR or accounting or something like that. A lot of these contractors are looking for people who are already cleared to come into those jobs rather than, bringing people in and clearing them. Is that correct? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, well, and that's what you see with cybersecurity. I mean, cybersecurity is an industry. 10 years ago, you wouldn't heard of people getting, you didn't go to college and get a major in cybersecurity. You majored in computer science or related fields, and then maybe you develop like a niche curriculum. You focus some of your classes in that core area. So really, like I say, I mean, you can certainly still major, or your key focus can be fairly broad. But if you can drill down into a specific niche, I think that definitely shows an advantage, and you'll find that there are employers looking for that specific skill set. So if you can prove that through certifications, through additional coursework that you took, through even going back for a master's degree with a specific focus on a skill set that's going to be useful in a niche industry, I do definitely think there are advantages.
You mentioned something just really important about, because a lot of people during this time period, and the economy does seem like it's starting to come back a little bit, but a lot of people have gone back to school. A lot of people are going back to school to get, certain things. As you're looking at the defense industry and defense contracting, and even just with federal agencies, for those people, whether it be, just brand new students who are getting their undergraduate degrees or people who are getting master's programs or anything like that, I mean, what would your advice be to a student, no matter what age, who is starting to look at the job market, starting to look at the defense market, and saying, would you say, listen, begin gearing your program to a certain thing? Are we seeing anything that's fading out, or should a person really kind of hone in on certain agencies and see what's important to that agency and base their curriculum around that?
I think if a student, you know, has a passion for a specific agency, they should look at what areas they're looking to hire in. You know, that said, there's certainly positions where across the board, any number of agencies are going to want that skill set. But if you have a passion, especially in college, for working in a specific arena or for a specific employer, and you can tap into that, then, you know, that's great. You certainly have that advantage. Then you can, you know, prep yourself with joining an internship, with getting a master's degree with a specific focus. That really helps to pave the way if you're looking for a specific agency or have a specific idea of mind in where your goal employer is.
Right. With that, you know, as people are thinking about resumes and you know, I know that, you know, I've talked to you guys at clearancejobs.com before, and we talked about the resumes. You know, people always ask questions about, you know, when I get my resume and I put my resume in front of somebody, you know, how much is enough? You know, how much is too much? You know, what kind of resume should I put on? How what kind of information? You know, I mean, as you're writing about it, looking at it, as you're monitoring, as you're talking to recruiters, what are people really saying about resumes, and what's grabbing people's attention right now with the resume?
Yeah. With resumes, sometimes it's surprising. It comes down to the simple things, that you should actually recreate your resume for the different positions you apply for.
Okay.
If you're looking at a specific job, you want to highlight the skills that position is for. Again, so you're not going to see a broad computer science degree reflected on a resume is perhaps not going to get you the specific job that you want in, you know, database security or, you know, in engineering or within an intelligence, you know, field. So you want to drill down your resume. You want to look at what's actually being posted on the job, make sure you meet the criteria, and then hopefully match your resume to that in some sense. So again, look at the positions you want to have. Look at job descriptions for your dream job and make sure that your resume hopefully reflects that. I mean, you don't want to lie on your resume, but you want to highlight those skills. I mean, it's tough, especially the longer that you've been in an industry or the longer you've worked, the longer you've been out of college, the more difficult it is to write a good resume, in my opinion. So I think,
well, you know, why is that? I mean, is it because you know, you have so much information and it's hard for people to keep track? I mean, you know, I hear people say that as well. I mean, why do you feel that it becomes so difficult to write the resume?
Because you've had such a long and illustrious career, you really, I mean,
sure.
You have trouble, I think. You find so much of what you've done important, and in some ways you're more attached to your position, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you're fresh out of college, you know, you want the money, you want the hot career at the CIA, you know, you know to drill it down to just those highlights. But I think when you get into the day in and day out of the job, especially if you've worked in a lot of jobs, and a recent study that we put out showed that folks who move, that's actually a way to, you know, to make money. You know, that moving positions is often a boon to getting a bigger salary.
But does that make you seem like you're not reliable? I mean, does that start? I mean, you know, you get that kind of catch-22. You move a couple times or several times in order to get more money. But then people start has it changed? I mean, are the old rules no longer applying? Where if you move around, you're not seen as a person who's a job jumper. You're just seen as a person who has had new opportunities and you took them.
I think it's weighing a balance. I think it's a careful balance. I think we have a younger generation now that is really wants an exciting, fast-paced career. They want to have a lot of different opportunities, and they will move to get those. And I think employers are recognizing that more and more, and they're also seeing that if they provide the right incentives to those employees, they can keep them. So we see, like I say, a number of jobs out there and folks who are willing to move around to get a job that they want. I think you have to balance it. If you can sit down in that interview and justify each of your moves and why you made the move. And hopefully it's not completely about money. It should be to some extent about job satisfaction and other things. Then I don't think it will be held against you. But I think you need to carefully look at it. Yeah, if you're changing jobs every 6 months, perhaps, that's another story. But it's going to be very specific to the individual.
Right. We're talking about the job search, the federal job search, the defense contracting job search, the cleared job search, and everything else. We're talking to Lindy Kaiser. She's the editor of ClearanceJobs.com. We're going to keep on talking. Lindy, when we come into the next segment, to the last segment, I really want to talk about social media. You had an interesting story that I want to share because I think it's a very, very powerful story about the dynamic of social media and how it's really, really impacted this job search right now and how people may need to really examine their use of social media tools. You know, are they using it in a positive way that's going to help them get recruited, or are they using it in a way that will shoot them in the foot and prevent them from being recruited? So we're going to talk about that in the next segment. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch. We'll be right back after this break.
Tune in to The Federal Drive every weekday morning from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Hear news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. Tom and Amy will give you the information you need to help explain and navigate your world. Listen on the radio at Federal News Radio 1500 AM, morning 6 to 10, or go to federalnewsradio.com and click Listen Live. The Federal Drive is sponsored by Symantec Confidence in a connected world.
The FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com takes a look at the issues surrounding cloud computing through the eyes of those who are using it every day. We'll share with you the challenges, opportunities, and lessons learned from some of the top minds in the world of federal IT. Collaborate with others and help shape the discussion on cloud computing at the FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com or follow the FedCloud blog on Twitter. The FedCloud blog is sponsored by Cisco and Intel.
The programs were designed by advisory panels of working engineers who want to teach the important concepts to the future generation.
That's Dr. Ted Foster, UMBC's Graduate Program Director for Engineering Management and Systems Engineering. Come and learn more about UMBC's graduate programs in Systems Engineering and Engineering Management at an info session Wednesday, April 13th, 12 noon at UMBC. Register online at umbc.edu/engm.
This is Lisa Millman from AFMA. For over 132 years, we've been protecting soldiers, airmen, and their families with low-cost life insurance and unique survivor assistance services. We focus on our members' best interests. That means offering the best prices on life insurance for military personnel and policies with no war, no aviation, and no terrorism clauses or surcharges. Get a free quote today at AFMA.com. That's AAFMAA.com.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
Israel has rolled out its secret weapon. In the face of renewed shelling from Gaza, they unveiled something they call the Iron Dome yesterday. It's a missile shield. The device intercepted two rockets in its first deployment. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu made the announcement while he was visiting Prague. The Iron Dome fires radar-guided missiles from a truck-sized launcher, which track and blow up incoming rockets in midair. I'm J.J. Green.
Can you imagine being responsible for the electronic security of up to 1 billion barrels of emergency crude oil stored in salt caverns as deep as 4,000 feet? Airink can. Their advanced information management platform protects over $80 billion worth of crude oil for the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. The stockpile is so important to our national security that there's only one person in the world who can authorize its drawdown. For more information, log on to arinc.com.
Cybersecurity runs deeper than information assurance. It includes mobile security, cyber innovations, forensics, collaboration. That's why last month the Defense Department increased its cyber budget request by nearly $1 billion. And it's why DHS is taking unprecedented steps to assume responsibility government-wide. Join FCA Bethesda on April 29th at the Bethesda North Marriott for its executive breakfast on the latest developments in mission-critical cybersecurity. For speaker lineup and to register, visit FCABethesda.com.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We've been talking about a number of good issues. We've been talking about the clearance job search. We have Lindy Kaiser on the phone. She's the editor of ClearanceJobs.com. And Lindy, I wanted to really kind of get into this this segment right here about social media right away, because you know a lot of people are talking about, hey, listen, how do I use these social media sites in order to help me, you know, get recruited? You know, I was talking to somebody was saying LinkedIn is the new place to search for jobs and for people to find you. Some people are saying Twitter. Some people are saying Facebook. You guys got your own social media tools on clearancejobs.com. What's been the impact? And you had a unique story that I would love for people to hear, because I believe you were recruited off of social media dynamic to come to clearancejobs.com, right?
Yeah, they actually found me on Twitter. as it happens. So you can, I guess you can find jobs on Twitter, although I'm the only person I know who that's happened to.
Well, I mean, with them finding you on Twitter, I mean, break that down for me. I mean, what happened that you were found and you were recruited off Twitter? Was somebody monitoring your tweets, or did somebody see some good writings? I mean, what's the background on that?
Well, the power of social media is providing value-added information. So anytime you're on a social media site or a social networking site, especially if you're posting publicly, which my tweets were public, so I did it, you know, partially at least for shameless self-promotion, and hopefully I was adding value to my community. So my job before Clearance Jobs was in social media. I was a social media manager for the Army for a while and did some social media consulting. So for me, online brand is pretty important, and I think especially if you're a job seeker, you need to be very aware of your online brand and what that looks like. So it's as simple sometimes as Googling yourself and knowing what comes up. And then especially in a security cleared community, it's even more important because to some extent, perhaps you shouldn't be posting things online, or you shouldn't be using a place like Facebook for your online resume, for instance. So it's really a good balance, and you definitely need to know what's out there, because I think brand, we are increasingly individuals, our brands, and if you think that an employer isn't looking at your Facebook profile, then I think you've got another thing coming as you're searching for jobs.
Wow. You mentioned that, you know, as you were found on Twitter, and you were doing social media for the Army, so, you know, you were putting things out on kind of a regular basis on Twitter and everything else, constantly doing updates. You know, for a person like yourself, and then we'll kind of go into somebody who's a little bit more cleared and maybe have to kind of have a little bit more discretion about how to use a Twitter account or Facebook account. But for a person like yourself who is kind of adding value-added information out there and maybe kind of putting out maybe professional advice or putting out whatever that is on a positive note, if you do have a Twitter account or Facebook account or something like that, do you need to be on there regularly, and do you have to have a good number of followers in order for somebody to grab onto you? I mean, what's the right use of it?
You'll get ask 10 people that question, especially 10 social media quote-unquote experts, and you'll get 10 different answers.
Sure.
But I think it's incredibly important that it's very specific to you and what you do. So me, for instance, on Twitter, I don't tweet a whole lot now, and that's just because the strain on other things I have going, even for the past 6 months, I'm not, ideally I'm on there every day, but not every day.
Right.
Conventional wisdom would say you should be on there every day to check out what's going on, and you should be, monitoring the conversation and engaging and providing feedback. But what I find is if you take those moments where you are engaging online and you make some value added, and you're not just, talking about what you ate for lunch, and you're not just sending information out there, then it's useful.
If you are using a Twitter account, you don't have to be tweeting every 5 minutes, or you don't have to be tweeting every hour. You can put out a strategic tweet per day and kind of say, boom, this is what's going on. Make sure you check this out, or maybe, put out maybe two tweets per day, or however you want to do it. But you don't have to feel like you got to be on there all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be authentic. You're not Justin Bieber, so you don't have to, keep 13-year-old girls, waiting your every tweet every moment. So you just have to be true to who you are. I think that's important for social media. You can kind of tell the folks that aren't quite comfortable in their own skin.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely why I say if you're not interested in tweeting, you don't need to. I mean, there won't be major social repercussions if you don't join Facebook. I know. people have a hard time believing that, because it's like, well, even my grandma is on Facebook. Of course I have to be on there. I still have friends who aren't engaged on social networks, again, a lot of them for security concerns or just because they're mildly antisocial. And if you don't want to be, that's fine. But if you are, I think you just need to be aware of what you're putting out there and make sure that it's an authentic and that hopefully it's a flattering portrayal of yourself. That's what I say. I mean, I'm surprised sometimes what people post. I cringe. When I worked with the Army, we had a saying, don't post anything that you wouldn't want Osama or your mama to see. And we always saw more people posting things that would make their mama cringe than we saw things that would make Osama cringe. So sure. That's a basic litmus test, is that there's no amount you have to post. There's no, status quo. Just make sure authentically you, and that hopefully it reflects well on you.
A lot of people who have kind of clear jobs, and I'm sure kind of when they're given their briefing, they're told the same kind of thing. But, you know, I've been on various sites where I've seen people who work for various, you know, intelligence agencies where people have listed, you know, where they work for and other things like that. I mean, would you say, I mean, that's kind of a major mistake and a kind of a major situation that people really say, hey, listen, this person's not really taking serious what they do. That can kind of harm you when you kind of have that kind of information out there, can it?
Yeah, absolutely. And then that's one of the key reasons that the Clearance Jobs Network was created. You know, you can go on Clearance Jobs, and again, even if you're not actively looking for a job, it can basically be a portal where you can connect with other people in your industry. And again, in a safe platform with vetted recruiters, with, you know, with other job seekers who have clearances, it's a specific platform that that's created for that reason, because security cleared professionals really need to be careful what they're posting online. And the concern isn't just posting classified information that most people realize is not a good idea, but even just, yeah, in terms of posting where you worked or outlining your resume. Like,
because that person can become a target. That person can become a target for somebody who's who's really thinking about, you know, espionage. It's the counterintelligence scenario of kind of making sure you're doing your due diligence to keep yourself and the nation safe.
Exactly. I mean, you just don't want to make yourself a target. So, and for me, it's just not worth it. I mean, you can certainly engage in social media sites, and you can engage online without revealing the ins and outs of your job,
right,
without posting your full resume, without doing that. And like I say, and then when it comes to wanting to look for a job or wanting to, you know, wanting to be able to highlight some of your work in an area that's just not going to put, you know, hey, I'm in the intelligence field out there for everyone to see, then you can come to Clearance Jobs and do that.
And so with Clearance Jobs, I mean, you have an environment where you guys have, you know, there's two things happening that I'm, and tell me if I'm correct. You have a cleared environment where the recruiters and those who are on there, you guys have vetted them out, so the person knows that they're talking to somebody who really does work, you know, for a valid company who's recruiting people with clearances. And so we don't have a fake company who's just trying to find out people's information. And then you also have a secure environment where it's only people with security clearances on there. And so with you guys' social media tools, you can feel a lot more comfort and at ease that you do have a secure environment. Is that right?
Exactly. And, you know, and we're not looking, you know, we're not designed to be, you know, Facebook. We're not a place for you to connect with your mom. But we're a place where you can connect professionally with other people.
What if your mom has a clearance, though?
Well, I guess
I'm just
does.
Playing.
I'm just joking.
No, I'm just playing with you. But I know, as you were saying, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's a place that's designed really for that kind of networking, you know, amongst recruiters, amongst industries. You can follow companies, see what's happening with companies that you're interested in, see what kind of positions they're hiring for. Because, again, for a lot of folks, if you're in a job, you probably have that, you know, that dream agency or that dream, you know, organization that you are interested in updates from. Well, through the Clear Network, you can really follow those folks and kind of learn more about what kind of positions that they have available.
So the key thing in terms of just, you know, as we close up to the last few seconds, the key thing is really, if you are going to get on social media, you need to really be aware of your brand, how you're looking in terms of people, what kind of information you're putting out there. What's your last bit of advice in terms of social media and the job search?
Again, be very aware of what you're posting and what you're putting out there. And don't look, a lot of folks are saying social media is the new place to find a job. Not necessarily, especially if you're in the intelligence field. And regardless of whether you have a security clearance and you're looking for a job at clearancejobs.com or somewhere else, just be very cognizant of what you're posting. If it's on the internet, it never goes away. And I think a lot of young people in particular would really benefit from hearing that.
So there are recruiters on social media websites, but it's not a matter of how, you know, how everything becomes a big trend. It's not a matter of that everybody has gone over to social media. The rules of the job search still apply, that you have to tap into a little bit of everything. You got to tap into, you know, the USA Jobs, the clearancejobs.com. You tap into the LinkedIn. You tap into all, you know, you tap into a traditional job search and a hidden job search. You do all of it because there's no one place that has all jobs. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that folks, I mean, your personal network more than ever is really important, and especially in D.C. So the more connections you have, the more people you know, and the more willingness you have to take opportunities as they're available wherever they come from, that's certainly to your advantage.
Lindy, thank you so much. This has been very, very valuable. I think a lot of people will get something from this that they can kind of move forward on. And we'll definitely look forward to talking to you in the future as you move forward with clearancejobs.com. Thank you for coming on Fed Access.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.